head coach of the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Jeff Ross. Today I'm with Matt Jones, Kevin Harnett, Pat Forty. I'm with Anoush Sariot, Kristen Wall, United States Congressman John Yarman, Sarah Bohanser, and
welcome to the Rusty Satellite Show with your host, Rick Redding. The show airs every week exclusively here on the Louisville.am Podcast Network. Rick's ready to start ranting and raving about his hometown right now. So, here's Rick.
And it is the Rusty Satellite Show. Thank you for figuring out how to listen to this weekly podcast featuring the most interesting people in the Ville. I am Rick Redding, your host. Have been on duty here and doing this this thing that I love, podcasting, for over 5 years now. This is show 282, 282 weeks in a row. How about that? I have another stellar lineup of guests this week. I have, first up, from the Pine Room, which is a cool new restaurant. If you don't know about it, you'll hear about it here. It is on Upper River Road near Prospect, and the people behind it are fascinating. It's Augusta Brown Holland. Now, if you're just a listener to the show, you know her husband, Gil, has been on the show, I think, three times. He may lead the show in guest appearances, but I was very happy to get to meet Augusta and talk to her about the restaurant, along with Stephen Tan, who is well-known in restaurant circles around here. He, you may have dined at Bassa in the past, closed a few years ago, but Stephen is devoting his full energies into the Pine Room, which is a legendary name around here. You'll hear about it. It in 1977, the longtime restaurant burned in a fire. And so Augusta, who grew up near that area, is bringing it back. And that is a very exciting thing for diners. And I actually went there over the weekend, and we'll tell you about my meal there as well. So that's an exciting guest. And second in the show, I have Kim Baker, who is the chief over there at the Kentucky Center for the Arts. She's very busy. She's got a lot going on. And the Center for the Arts building itself is still undergoing some work as a result of the fire that happened in June, way back in June. But, you know, the programming, and as you'll hear from Kim, a lot of good things are happening as a result of the, you know, it wasn't a good thing that they had the fire, but there's good things that from adversity comes opportunity, is what they say. Or at least that's what I think. I've been very busy doing some really fun and some interesting things around town. At this point, I'd like to mention my sponsors who make this show possible. That would be Passport Health Plan. And I remind you that there is a website called PassportWellbeing.com. And under the community, you'll see more than 50 stories I've written about various people and organizations in the West End. I attended an event in West Louisville this week. As a matter of fact, I'm going to tell you about in the second part of the show. Thanks to Passport. Thanks to the Eye Care Institute, where I got my LASIK done this summer and am seeing better than ever. Strongly recommend you call them at 502-589-1500 if it's LASIK or if it's something else going on with your eyes. They're the experts. Get the people that are the best, the Eye Care Institute. Also, my friends at Heiser Health, and I will mention to you that Peggy Heiser asked me to write a brief piece about my experience for something she was doing. I published that piece on LouisvilleKY.com. You can go look at it. It's sort of an update on my progress in terms of my health. And just played racquetball this week. I did pretty good. I'll just say that. I'm really happy to be back doing a sport that I love. Although it always cost me in sore muscles and I'm sure my doctor, Dr. Quill, would say that's not good for your ankle, Rick. But it's well worth it. Well worth it, I think. So that's what the show is all about. I've got a lot of stuff going on that we want to talk about, and I'm looking forward to that. But first, I want to get to this interview with Augusta and Stephen down at the Pine Room. Now, Stephen is also a Heiser Health member. I met him down there, and he said that the whole Heiser thing has changed his life. It's certainly changed mine. But Stephen's a great restaurateur. When we were there having dinner on Sunday night, he was, he was hands-on. He's a very hands-on guy down at the restaurant. I loved what I had. I had the grilled mahi-mahi, and there was just so many great flavors in that dish. It was the special that they had, and Paula had a had an Italian fettuccine dish, and she loved it too. And so I don't always go out of my way to recommend restaurants. There's a lot of great restaurants in this city, but this is one I've experienced. I can definitely speak to. They have a piano player there, great atmosphere, and very, very homey place. So anyway, that's the Pine Room, and you'll hear all about it right now with my interview with Augusta Holland and Stephen Tom.
I admit, I used to think people addicted to painkillers just needed to toughen up, until it happened to my daughter. She really needed help. Thanks to Passport, we got it for her. Our doctor and her Passport case manager made sure she got the services and treatment she needed. Together, we got through it.
Find out how you can get Passport at passporthealthplan.com/together. Passport Health Plan. We're in this together.
All right. Today I'm at the Pine Room. The other night I had a wonderful dinner in here. And Augusta Holland, you are the manager. What is your, you got this going, didn't you?
Yeah, I did.
Okay. Tell me about how this came about. Because I know there was a fire 40 years ago at the legendary Pine Room, but now it's back.
Yeah. So you're right. There was an original Pine Room that burned to the ground in 1977. And I grew up out this way and I was too young to know the original Pine Room, but knew of it and heard stories and all kinds of stuff. And so fast forward to kind of today, my husband and I moved back out this way a couple years ago. And we had done a lot of work in Nulu, and we always would drive to Nulu for dinner and felt like that maybe this was a little bit of an underserved community for some of our people out here. And so we actually owned this property, and there was already an existing establishment here, the Cast Iron Skillet. And they at one point decided to go to a month-to-month lease. And so we thought, well, that's kind of interesting. And then they did that for a long time. And then I sort of realized there was maybe an opportunity for us to do something different here.
Okay.
And so that's how kind of the original thing all came together.
But I've read a little bit about your background and your history, and there's nothing in there about running restaurants.
This is true. Very true. Yes, my background is in urban planning and real estate development and not restaurants. But I don't know, I had a really clear vision of the type of atmosphere I wanted to create and the... generally speaking, the style of menu, and Stephen and I had known each other for a long time since moving back home to Louisville from New York. And so when I had the idea to maybe pursue this, I knew I needed help. And so that's where Stephen came into play.
Okay.
And he thankfully said, yes, he was game. And so that's how we got here.
So the remodeling and the look of the place, that took a while, right? It took a while to get here?
It took a while, yeah. The basic footprint is essentially the same, but we really had to rebuild everything, all the kitchen and the back of house. We added on some to that, the storage in particular, and then the front of house is all reskinned, as someone expressed that expression that someone told me, I guess Stephen told me. And so, and opened it up and mostly brightened it up, had put in a lot of windows.
Okay.
Was the main transformation.
So you're happy with it?
I'm really happy, yeah. But I mean, the main thing is whether or not the customers are happy.
Well, I hear there's been lines and a lot of business. Is that's true? You're happy so far with the amount of traffic in here?
Yes, we've done really well. We feel very thankful for the community, and we call ourselves a high quality neighborhood restaurant. And the neighborhood has been good to us. So.
Okay. Yeah. How often do you come in?
Well, it's funny. I come in a lot in the beginning, and I still come in some, but I have a tradition I'm trying to start. We have three small children, so dinner time is kind of a sacred time across the street for us. And so I'm trying to find a rhythm to bring a child in for a special dinner every night, which is on the early side. I come in like 5:30. We don't take a peak prime table.
All right. Well, I want to bring Stephen in because you have certainly a well-known name in Louisville restaurant circles, and this is a new project. I guess let me start with, where I first heard your name was with Bossa.
Yes.
And that was, about a 10-year run, right?
Yes, about a 10-year run.
And that was successful. How come you got away from that?
It was because my brother's the chef, and he actually moved to Florida. Okay.
So no chef, no restaurant.
All right.
It's that simple.
Okay.
It's that simple.
Well, you got a chef here, though, right?
Yes.
Yes, we do. Actually, that's where Gus and I met. Was that Boston?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, cool. And you're, I guess a lot of this is your vision in terms of the, I noticed I guess the attentiveness the other night when I was here, you know, my server, Matt, right?
Yes,
He was really great. And and you're on the scene. I mean, you're mm-hmm. very, a lot of attention to detail.
I'm very hands-on.
Yeah.
That's kind of my aesthetic and just my philosophy.
Okay. What kind of experience are you, you know, when you drew this up with Augusta mm-hmm. and you said, what kind of experience are we going to give people? What?
You know, like what Augusta said about being a neighborhood restaurant, you know, being very inviting, approachable, so we can have date night, you can bring your family. It's just one of those restaurants that's very inclusive.
Okay.
And we wanted to bring that kind of neighborhood feel to it.
All right. Well, let's talk a little bit about the menu. I had the mahi-mahi the other night.
Yes.
And but there were other things I wanted to try, but it's not like there's... You know, you go to a place like some of these chains and you got a mm-hmm. book you got to go through.
Yeah.
There's a limited number of entrees.
Yes. We wanted to be approachable, yet elevated food. We wanted to be very well curated, so we wanted to keep it really tight. Actually, Augusta is, I have to attribute a lot of the menu to her. I mean, she pushed a lot of the vegetarian items. It's actually a very unique item because it's approachable comfort food. But at the same time, it leans towards healthy side of it. So it's kind of nice. It's a very unique menu. You
know,
a lot of guests tell me that. They said it's very unique.
Yeah, the people next to us were marveling. They had the fried chicken and the mm-hmm. and the burger. Mm. So those were...
They're two bestsellers.
Yeah.
I guess so. That's my question. What sells best?
So we have the Crave items in addition to items that are Crave items but also healthy too. So, for example, like the nachos.
Okay.
It's like a
Tell
good
me about that. Crave
healthy,
item.
It's like a Crave item. So it's like a nacho you would find like in like a sports bar or a family restaurant, but it leans towards more of the healthy side.
Okay.
And so that's a very unique kind of item.
Yeah.
And most of our menu is like that.
Yeah. Well, I know, I'll bring this up since mm-hmm. we share a place we work out at, down the road at Heiser. So you almost have to have healthy items
Absolutely.
On the menu, right? Or Peggy would get after us.
Yeah. That I think a lot of people are eating that way too. Yeah.
Yeah, they really are. It's mm-hmm. you know, and I just made the change, you know, in March to a diet that mm-hmm. I don't get the nachos like they serve at sports bars anymore.
That's right.
And
that's right.
So good. Next time I come, I'll have the. I know I can have nachos here.
Well, in moderation.
Everything.
Everything in moderation.
That's true. And the plate I had was small, but it was filling.
Good.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so that was a real positive. Mm-hmm. So again, back to you, Augusta. Is this the extent of your interest in restaurants, or?
Well, as you know, I mean, it is a tough business, I'm realizing. But so I don't, you know, I don't foresee myself becoming, you know, a restaurateur extraordinaire. But this particular place is very close to my heart. So I'm, you know, a bit of a passion project. And I'm thrilled and happy with how it's turned out. And couldn't have done it without Stephen and the team here. But yeah, I don't foresee, you know.
Well, I know Gil's certainly he's working on you to get a restaurant in Portland.
Yeah, you're right. He is, yes. I'm probably not his girl for that, but just in general, I'm not expanding at this moment.
She's being a little bit too humble. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Okay.
But, all right, so I've worked with a lot of restaurateurs. I mean, I'm on a team of restaurant guys, been doing it a long time. Sometimes we tend to have tunnel vision, just mm-hmm. because, you know, we've been doing it a long time. There's a lot of ape-type personalities, a lot of egos.
Mm-hmm.
I have to admit, you're being very humble right now, because she, for someone who's never been in a restaurant business, she has a lot of skill sets that a restaurateur needs to have. She has, like, an aesthetic when it comes to the design and decor, ethos and food. I'm really impressed. Well, the fact, I mean, you may not have the technical or the experience, but you bring something outside of it that is very beneficial. And I think that's the reason why Gus and I work. Is because I bring the experience, I bring the technical side, okay. but she brings this other level to it. You know, whether it's you know, because she's well traveled or she has good taste or you know what I mean, like or taste in food, it brings us to another level. And I think that's the reason why the partnership works. I really do. I truly believe that.
Well, I think sometimes in a lot of businesses, an outsider, somebody that's not in the everyday workings of how a kitchen works. Maybe that works. Although I don't want you to bring somebody like me in. Don't bring a journalist.
Okay, maybe not you. But she brings a very fresh perspective.
All right. Well, Stephen. I mean, this is certainly a great endeavor for you. Do you have any other restaurant ideas going?
Currently, right now, this is my baby.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
The baby has been born.
Well, tell me, because I don't know, and I should know this before I ask you. But I know you were involved in the group that owns Doc Crows, right?
That's right.
And so you still have an interest in that? Or?
Actually, I sold my interest. So this is my full-time.
So this is this and working out at Heiser.
And working out, that's right.
Okay.
Well, I spend time with my son, Miles.
That's good. Well, I mean, your children, I know, Gussie, you have three, and Stephen, you have one. Mm-hmm. I guess we work parenthood into everything else we do, right?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And then we made an effort to make the Pine Room kid-friendly. We have a great kids menu. We have, very specific gray colored pencils. We have all kinds of things that we thought about. High chairs. And that was part of our ethos, too, was also not wanting to I felt like, as a parent, I usually was sacrificing my own, sort of quality dinner for my kids if they wanted to go out to dinner. So we would go somewhere that was fine, but not great for us. And so
somewhere they had chicken fingers.
Exactly. Right. And pizza, which is nothing wrong with that. I love pizza and chicken fingers, but, sometimes you just want something else. And so this, we're sort of allowing the kids to have their yummy meal and then us as well.
Okay. Do you see the menu, evolving? Well, it will change as time goes on?
It will.
For sure.
It will.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So we'll look for... new dishes in the spring, or are we coming on? Because you've been open how long?
3 months.
Almost 3 months.
Three months. Okay. Yeah. So
it's driven by the seasons.
Okay.
But also we wanted a static menu for the most part because it is a neighborhood restaurant. So regulars are going to have their favorites. Whether it's the burger or the fried chicken.
It's a neat cocktail menu too. I had.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Where did I have the one with the vodka and ginger beer.
The mule. The Moscow mule.
Yeah. But it was called something else.
Yeah, it's called the Workhorse.
Workhorse, there you go. That's what it is. So good. So is there there's a chef, you have a bar person too, and I mean, is it, I guess I'm getting to what kind of staff you have.
Yeah, so, I mean, I oversee the staff, but I have everyone in their specialty. So we have a bar manager, we have the chef, and then I just run the front of the house. So, everyone has their own little specialties.
Okay. And just for dinner, right?
Just for dinner. Yes. We're hoping to open for brunch. Saturday and Sunday brunch is our next ambition.
Okay.
So, keep your fingers crossed. Hopefully in the new year, that'll happen.
In the new year. I always love talking to restaurant people about when things are going to happen.
We're very vague.
The new year's going to happen before we know it. I mean, it's already essentially almost December 1st.
It's almost December 1st, and it's snowing outside, so it must be winter.
It must be winter.
That's right.
Heiser Health, your complete health source for preventative medicine and optimum health. Visit the experts of medical doctors and nurse practitioners so they can evaluate your overall health and your health as you age. Heiser Health uses the primary preventative technique of nutrition with real food and effective exercise. If you qualify, you may need hormone replacement to optimize your health. Call the experts at Heiser Health, 502-882-4252.
And there you go. That is the Pine Room, right down on River Road near Prospect. You get there, you go down Wolfpin Branch down to the river. And it's right there. They've done a great job in the modern. They were putting up Christmas decorations. I was there on a Wednesday morning when it was snowing, believe it or not. It was beautiful. That snow's okay when it's just enough to, look at, and it doesn't actually get on the roads or make things slick. That was fun. But it is getting toward winter, and we're getting a lot of that stuff. So, anyway, as those of you who follow this show, and I appreciate all of you out there, understand that I've had a lot of guests on the show, 500 plus and counting, and it has happened now for the fifth time, actually. I'm very saddened this week. I learned that Emily McKay, who you may remember, the Diaper Fairy, was on this show. She's one of the most delightful guests I've ever had. Shortly after she was featured on the show, she had this very successful business called the Diaper Fairy, and she was diagnosed with leukemia. And she fought a brave fight for, I think, a couple of years, and you can see, if you go on Facebook, a lot of she really affected a lot of folks in a positive way. She just had a really bright outlook. And just a couple of weeks ago, she was interviewed on Louisville Public Media. And you know, you never know when it's going to happen. But she died last week, and it's very sad. That there is, and typical of her, there is a celebration of a life event planned for her at the Speed Museum on Friday night. I am taking some liberties here and saying that if you knew Emily, you'd be welcome to attend that thing. It's sad when people leave us too early on the show. It reminds me, not too long ago, we said goodbye to John Asher of Churchill Downs. We said goodbye to Dean Corbett, who was on this show, a great restaurateur in town. In the past, Otto Knopp was passed away about, seems like it's about a year ago. The legendary UofL football player, businessman, brother to Caroline Knopp, who helps me out a lot on this show. He passed away, as did a little further back, Julius Friedman, the artist. I had him on the show to talk about an art exhibit he had at the Fraser Museum, and subsequently he's passed away. So, you know, the whole death thing, it makes you think about life and how lucky we are to be alive and be doing the things that we're doing. I feel very fortunate. I have a lot of fun doing what I do here and producing this Rusty Satellite Show. But fortunately, you know, we lost Emily this week, so I was very sad about that, and I wanted to mention that in the show. Okay. What else is going on in town? Jip Rahm, of course. I'm not going to really say anything about it. Probably by the time you listen to this, there's going to be some resolution. I tell you, this town has been on edge. It reminds me, like, you know, it's been a big week in sports in this town. Louisville had this great game with Michigan State in basketball at the Yum Center the other night, and they won. And it seems to have lifted the spirits of everybody around, everybody that pays attention, I guess, to UofL sports. I'm doing less and less of that these days, it seems. You know, we just had the worst football season of all time, but now whether Jeff Brom comes or not, you know, there's going to be it's going to be a lot of talk around here about it. But it's really, I think, going to lift the spirits of the city if they manage to hire this guy. Jeff Brom was on this show when he was the coach at Western Kentucky, my alma mater, Western. You know, the coaching carousel thing happens in sports this time of year. Western fired their coach, a guy named Mike Sanford, who stunk it up for. He was Brom's successor down there, and he stunk it up for a couple of years, and they got rid of him and brought in the offensive coordinator from Tennessee. But the thing that's encouraging to me about Tyson Helton is that he was the offensive coordinator at Western when Jeff Brom was the head coach. And that offense, for those 2 years, in my opinion, watching football, that was the most exciting offense that I think I'd ever seen in college football. So, anyway, that's what's going on down at Western. And here, as of, you know, Wednesday afternoon at 5 o'clock, we are still waiting for an answer from the Brom family. There's so much speculation. It's unbelievable about a football coach who's going to be way overpaid no matter what. But, you know, it seems to be important to a lot of people. All right, so some other news that I like to pay attention to, you know, some of the news stories that have affected me or do affect me. The city is doing is taking action on Airbnb. Apparently there's some controversy about the situation where people own houses and don't live in them and offer them on Airbnb. And so the city's come up with this idea they're going to have a three-month moratorium on accepting new applicants to be, you know, new properties. So if you want to go through the proper channels and get your home registered as an Airbnb, there's a delay. I think they're trying to come up with yet another plan, and you know, it shouldn't be this hard is what I'm saying. As you know, back in the summer, the city of J-Town and I got into got into a little controversy, and you know, it was never really resolved. I mean, I don't think a lot of the intelligence or common sense of the people on the Jefferson Downs City Council, they listened to these old people from Plainview who were worried that people were going to move, you know, that there were going to be different people coming in and out of their neighborhood, staying at a house in their neighborhood, and they never really resolved anything. The city tried to start prosecuting me for having an Airbnb in J-Town, and basically nothing happened. It wasn't resolved. And now I was talking to somebody this week that there are other places in town where Airbnbs are officially not allowed. So what happens? They go underground, or they're it still happens. It still happens. It's just whether the city is able to police them or not. And so there's a lot going on around our Airbnb issue. What the city needs to do is, you know, free up the market. All these regulations, et cetera, are not really necessary, in my view. Okay, but people like to, in this town, like to tell people things that they can't do, even if they make sense. Just very quickly, Topgolf is going before the Metro Council. If you're listening to this on Thursday, it's today. On Thursday, I'm certain the Metro Council is going to approve the Topgolf plan. Now, there's a lawsuit out there that may delay the Topgolf construction out there at Oxmoor Mall a little bit longer. As you know, we talked about those three couples who filed a lawsuit against this thing. I feel like I should really be making fun of those folks, and I would, but I think Topgolf is finally going to clear the hurdles and it's really going to start happening. So at least that's what I hope. All right. I saw something that I thought was really interesting in Business First, that they are finally going to tear down Old Cardinal Stadium. Now, you know, it's because it's on clearly visible on I-65, you know, it's really become sort of a, I don't know if it's a novelty, an eyesore. It's just, what is going on with that place? It seems like it's been years that since it's been used for a baseball or a football game or even a concert. They used to have concerts at the fair, and they quit having those. So the space is definitely not being used at all. And the delay has always been that they didn't have the money. The state owns it, and the state didn't have the money to tear it down. Well, according to Story and Business First, that the teardown is going to start happening in December or January. And the state has some plans to do something else with the property, still yet to be determined. But it would be interesting to see that thing come down. It's been there so long. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of nostalgia over it. My favorite memory of that place is going to Louisville Colonels games as a kid. Louisville had the AAA team of the Boston Red Sox back in those days, like the early 70s. And I used to go out to those games, saw all those Red Sox players. And anyway, there's been a lot of cool stuff that have happened. The Louisville Redbirds played there, and that was in 1982 when that happened. It was such a phenomenon because baseball had come back and Louisville set AAA attendance records, and it led to the building of Slugger Field and ultimately the abandoning of Cardinal Stadium. So that's going to come down in the very near future. So a demolition thing is going to happen. I did attend one event I'd like to tell you about. I went to a press conference on Monday down at the Louisville Urban League about the track and field stadium. It's being called the Louisville Urban League Sports and Learning Complex. Louisville Urban League Sports and Learning Complex, a $35 million facility that is in the planning stages, and they still have to raise some money. But they had good news this week. The press conference was because they had gotten $3 million from the J. Graham Brown Foundation, which brought them up to about half of what they need to build the thing. And it's an interesting story in Insider Louisville about it. It's about its economic impact. Apparently, the Metro government hired a consultant to do a economic impact study analysis of it, and it'd really be a good thing for the city. Now, when I was at the press conference, I talked to Carl Schmidt of the Louisville Sports Commission, and he told me some things I didn't know about track and field, which is not like a sport that you think can be a big economic driver of stuff. But apparently, Louisville could have one of the few track and field spots, and this report says that we could attract 17 events a year, and there's a bunch of economic impact on that. So it would be so great for West Louisville, number one, and it might stimulate some other things like you know, I think the one thing the West End doesn't have is a hotel. I mean, it'd be nice to have a hotel down there, but this track and field facility would certainly demonstrate that the West End could be back. I saw a couple other things in the West End. There's a building at 15th and Broadway that a company has purchased, a giant building that is sitting empty, and it's going to be redeveloped. I went to a press conference a couple weeks ago at the very near that spot. A new health center is going up. So there's a lot going on, a lot of momentum in the West End. And, you know, if you're one of those people that doesn't go down there or hasn't been down there, well, find an occasion to make your way down there. It's there's a lot of good stuff happening in the West End. All right, lastly, I want to just mention really quickly, I think I'm going to go to on Thursday night to this party at Copper and Kings for the Voice Tribune. This is a big media thing that a few years ago would have been big, big news, but the Voice Tribune is going from being a weekly newspaper to a monthly magazine. So it's a big change in the media, in the media world in Louisville. I think it's smart. And my friend Angie Fenton is the editor there, and she is excited about it. I mean, it's going to be a lot different. But it always amazes me how well the printed magazines do in this town, because I was the first to campaign for and to say that the day of print is dead, but it's not. You know, when I was doing a blog called The Ville Voice back in 2007, 8, 9, you know, it was all about, you know, in those days, and I tell people this, and you know, it's hard to imagine because it's changed so much since then. But at that time, you know, all the news coming to blogs, you know, it was revolutionary, because the newspaper, all the print publications, you know, they were slow to catch on to the internet. Now they're all there, but the print guys are still doing pretty well. I think Louisville Magazine does pretty well. I think Leo Weekly, I see it. It's pretty thick. It's they're selling ads in those things as well as Business First. So anyway, it's going to be interesting to see if the Voice Tribune is successful going from a weekly to a monthly. And, you know, we'll see. Maybe we'll have Angie Fenton on here to come back. Angie was one of the first guests this show ever had 5 years ago. And she's got a lot going on. And so we shall wait and see what happens there. All right, that's what the show is all about. Just give you a little tidbit of my views on some things. My next guest, Kim Baker, is responsible for a lot of the exciting things that are going on in town. I remember a while back, I was down at Paristown Point where they were starting to build this performance venue, and it is going full gangbusters now. If you ever go down there, it's like right off Broadway. If you know, the Cafe is a nice little restaurant down there. It's off, I think, Brent Street. And it's going to be an impressive facility. And Kim was down there checking out the construction today. She and a trooper for doing that, because she is had something. She's in a boot, just like my girlfriend Paula. She's on crutches. She's got a walker. She's struggling to get around because of I think she said a boating accident happened on her vacation. But anyway, she's got a great spirit. She's got a lot of energy. She's a lot of fun, and I really enjoyed getting to meet her. So. Why don't we listen to hear what's going on with the Kentucky Center?
All right, the Rusty Satellite Show today is at the Kentucky Center for the Arts. I'm with Kim Baker, and I just walked through the lobby. There's still no carpet out there.
There is still no carpet. We are anxiously awaiting it, but it's going to be a while. The fire, you know, had some extensive damage that was done to the center. A lot of it was water and smoke related. But it's a complicated roof that we have, and a beautiful roof, a wonderful roof, but a complicated one. So it's going to take a while to get everything back.
So that fire was what, August?
It was in June.
So it has really taken a while to get that thing going.
It has.
But performances have come back. You know, it's open, right?
Yes, it's been, I mean, we've been fortunate, and we have been working with the Commonwealth of Kentucky and the Finance Cabinet to really help us. They've been working around our schedule because we are very, very busy and active. And there are some things that have had to move, you know, just so that work can happen during the day.
Yeah.
But most everything continues uninterrupted.
Well, very good. Very good. Well, Kim, I wanted to have you on the show. You have, I didn't realize you've been in this sort of business your whole career. You grew up here in Louisville, and went to school at UK, and you somehow managed. There's a neat story about how you got involved in the Center for the Arts.
Well, it's the center is very special to me, and I feel like that I wouldn't be here today working in what I think is the most exciting career anyone could have if it wasn't for the Kentucky Center. And really, I did. I grew up here in Louisville, and I always loved classical music, and I love music and played and all the things that, you know, children do and
yeah, you played the flute.
Allstate, I played the flute, played in Allstate and All-County and all those things. And there was a program that my band director told me about. It was the first year of the program, and I remember him saying, I don't know much about this program, but it's being put on by the Kentucky Center, and so I'm sure it's going to be a wonderful program. And it was the Governor's School for the Arts, and it was the first year of that program. And really going to that program put me on a trajectory, and it really did open my eyes to what the vast opportunities that exist in the performing arts, and really turned me on to a lot of different cultural opportunities. I met youth from all across the state that were talented, and anyway, it was very, very special for me. And the center is still running that program today.
Yeah, it's still going on. I know people who have been in it, but I was fascinated that your career path. You mentioned the Iroquois Amphitheater. You mentioned a couple other facilities here. You've sort of moved up, I guess,
well,
over the years.
I have. I mean, I think it's a benefit that I have worked in this community and in a variety of different places in this community and a variety of different jobs, because mm-hmm. we have a very special arts community here, and it's wonderful. And you know, I really feel like because I know it and I care about it, you know, I can really bring that type of bigger picture to the work
right.
that happens here at the center. But I ended up, the Governor's School introduced me to this whole field of arts administration, and I studied that, business and music, at the University of Kentucky. They still have a wonderful arts administration program. And so years later, when I graduated from UK and I came back to the center, I went to the box office to see if I could get my foot in the door at the box office.
Mm-hmm.
I had worked at the Singletary Center, which was a performing arts center attached to the music school
in Lexington. Right.
But I came in, and somebody behind the counter, I remember, said, "Oh, this is one of the first class from the Governor's School for the Arts. I bet they'd be really interested to see kind of what they're doing." And there were some jobs open in programming, which to me is sort of the heartbeat of the mission of the Kentucky Center, bringing in all the different presenting artists from across the world.
Sure.
So I walked into that as my very first job and dealt with artists, classical artists, popular artists. One of the first shows I saw from the Wings of the Whitney was Ray Charles. And, you know, so just at a very, my first job had the most exciting kind of position, I think.
Yeah.
And then went into some different facilities.
It seems like a lot of fun. I know it's still work, but what's the most fun thing about what you do?
I mean, for me, it's creating an opportunity to see something really special happen in an individual. It's very much about an individual. And that I can get at that in a variety of ways. You know, whether it's something that we're putting on and you see kind of the families that come together to experience something special, or you see somebody walking into the center for the first time, maybe it's a young person coming here to see stage one, and just you see their eyes light up, or whether it's a young artist through the Governor's School for the Arts that you know, has really changed through our programming. You know, it's kind of seeing how we can impact people. And I do really believe that the arts can change people.
Sure.
And I see that. I get to see that. And that, to me, is the most fun and the most exciting, most exciting and fulfilling.
Okay. Well, I'm sure you do a lot of variety of things. And we just talked. You just got back from the construction site down the road at Paristown. And I've seen that. I've seen a lot of concrete going up over there. And how's that coming along?
It's coming along great. The center right now a lot of people think of us as just this building that's on Main Street. But we also, the foundation, Kentucky Center Foundation owns the Brown Theater, and we are in the process of creating this new building that's in the Paristown area. And it is a 2,000 standing room venue, but it's also being built for performing arts. So this kind of venue is going to be able to host, whether it's touring bands that are coming through the market, or whether it's one of our wonderful local arts groups that wants to do something a little innovative, a little creative, a little more, you know, cutting edge. That's going to be the type of space where they can really workshop. And the center is going to be supportive in that.
Okay.
So it's coming along great. I mean, we intend to open. I think we're on schedule to do so.
When would that be?
In June of 19.
Wow.
And if you drive...
It's like 6 months away.
It's like 6 months away. And if you drive back in there, you know, I don't know about you, but I hadn't really heard of Paristown. Of course, I knew of Louisville Stoneware, and I knew I know of the neighborhoods that surround it. But you kind of discover this whole hidden, you know, area that I think is really going to be very special.
Yeah, I know. In fact, I had the Louisville Stoneware guy on the show and talking about different things that they different businesses that they expect to pop up around it.
Yeah.
And so that could happen, right?
Oh, definitely. And it feels really synergistic right now. And, you know, we've got this wonderful projection wall where we're going to be able to show movies, where we're going to be able to show new media artists and installations. So there's a real community gathering spot. It's very accessible. Yeah, and the areas around it. The cafe, of course, is wonderful. It's been there, but there's anticipated activity that will come from this work.
Well, very cool. Well, back to this and your job. I'm just curious, when you're in the middle of something like this, you know, certain things come to town, and I think, oh well, I might want to go see that. What gets you excited to go see?
Oh, I mean, I love. For me, I love theater. This is why I'm in the perfect job for me. Why I think it's the best job in the world, because I love all of the performing arts. And but for me, I love seeing contemporary theater. I love Broadway musicals, but I love the musicals that are a little newer. That's so much fun to go see something like a Hamilton or a Dear Evan Hansen. I get really excited. I love contemporary dance. Ballet is wonderful, but I love seeing kind of new work that's being created. So I love all kinds of performing arts, but I'm particularly interested in new work.
Okay. So, is there a show this year that or something this year really got you excited?
Want
to go out and tell people about?
Oh, well, I mean, you know, if you had asked me that a few weeks ago, I would have talked about Dance Theater of Harlem that came through to the Whitney Hall and was incredible, and they were celebrating their 50th anniversary. It was amazing. It was incredibly athletic and diverse, and the audience was incredibly, you know, diverse as well, and just a wonderful performance. But coming up, I mean, I feel like I'm with everybody else in that I've seen Hamilton, but I can't wait to see it again and to share that with my family and my friends, because it's really exciting.
And I said I wouldn't ask you about dates, but what month is
Hamilton's coming in June, and it'll be here for 3 weeks.
Okay. All right.
June of 19.
Put me down for a couple tickets.
Okay, right.
That's what I want. So, another thing, I just in general, now, you know, you're through the storm of this major crisis that happened last year. How much of a setback was that?
You know, out of, what is the saying, out of adversity comes opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think although it was a very challenging time for not only us, but those that use us, it still is. You know, there's real opportunity about what we can do going forward. We had been, you know, the center's 35 years old. This is a 35th year.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just some things that need to be updated and we need to look towards the future in this building. And there's going to be some changes that we're going to be able to make because this fire happened. So it was a setback in the sense that You know, it was hard on us all. We were thankful that we didn't have to cancel. Our patrons and our supporters have been incredible and are suffering through some of the scaffolding in the lobbies and those things. But going forward, the center is going to be spectacular when it opens, when all the work is done. And
it'll be visually different, or how will it be different?
Well, I mean, I'll give you an example. This is something that is not visually different, but it will make a big difference. The barrel vault has plaster on the inside of the vault. We're replacing that with something that's going to look exactly the same. However, the material is an acoustical treatment. And so when you're in the main lobby now, it's still going to sound lively, but it can actually be a performance space where it couldn't be that before because of the reverberation and just the noise.
Used the term, I got to ask you, because I'm not sure what it is. Barrel vault?
Barrel vault. And I guess that's the way our roof is sloped.
Okay.
We call it the barrel vault.
Okay.
That's what that is. So that big
slope.
That's
my new vocabulary term for the day.
The barrel vault, the slope there will be acoustically treated. So, but we're going to make some other changes. You know, the center, when it was built 35 years ago, it houses this spectacular art collection of sculptures and pieces. And we're doing some things to bring the building a little bit back to maybe what it was originally intended to be and that the feeling of it, which is to highlight the art, highlight the architecture. So we're really working to see if we can't open up the footprint a little bit more and create a little bit more sophisticated monochromatic palette to highlight those types of things.
Okay.
So we're really excited about the changes and the opportunities that we have. And we're still trying to work through those things right now. It's continuing to evolve.
Okay. Well, great. Well, it's great that you're back open again. Performances are going on. What's going on right now?
Well, right now we've got all of the holiday activity that is Christmas story.
Christmas story. There's something next week I thought about going to.
Well, it could be we've got the Nutcracker that's coming up. We've got Rudolph, the Red-Nosed Reindeer, which is a family classic, you know. All kinds of things coming up.
All right. Well, it's one of my favorite spots to come, so I'm glad I got to meet the person in charge here. Kim, you do a wonderful job, and look forward to seeing you down here again.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been a pleasure.
And that is what the Rusty Satellite Show is all about. This is Rick Redding, your host, for the 282nd week in a row, doing an episode of the Rusty Satellite Show. I really enjoy doing this. It's a lot of fun for me. I want to give a big thank you to Kim Baker for taking the time out to talk with me this afternoon, and to Stephen Ton and Augusta Holland for hosting me down at the Pine Room. I think I did that on Tuesday, so that was a lot of fun, and the whole show is a lot of fun. I've been thinking about making some changes to the show. I would welcome any feedback you might have. I'd love to figure out a way to do this on a daily basis. That's a long-time dream of mine, something I want to do. But got to figure out a way to make that happen. I welcome any ideas that you have for the Rusty Satellite Show. If you got somebody that you think would be a good guest, you know somebody that's one of the most interesting people. He is on Facebook under Rick Redding. But also have LouisvilleKY.com. Check out that site. And with my sponsor, Passport Health Plan, you can find a lot of stuff that I write at passportwellbeing.com/the community. And the show is made possible by Passport and by the Eye Care Institute and my friends at Heiser Health. So thanks to all them for being a part of this show. And thanks to you, the listener, for making it worth doing. I'm glad you're out there. I'm glad you're listening. I'd love to have some feedback from you about what you like, what you don't like about the Rusty Satellite Show, because we will be back again next week with another episode, and I'm sure, I don't know who they are yet, I'm sure I'll have some interesting guests for you, and you'll learn a little bit more about my hometown, Louisville, Kentucky, right here on the Rusty Satellite Show. This is Rick Redding signing off.
Thanks for listening to the Rusty Satellite Podcast with your host, Rick Redding. Next week, Rick will be right back here on Louisville.am with another stellar lineup of great guests.
You can let Rick know what you think by sending an email to rick@louisvilleky.com. He's on Twitter, too, @RickyRedding. For more information about the show, including photos of Rusty Satellite Show guests, go to louisvilleky.com, the pulse of the city.
Time.